One Coin in the Fountain, written by Anita Charles, narrated by Sheila McCluskey-Carroll. Chapter 1. It was already dusk when the Paris plane touched down at London Airport. Rose Hereward stood shivering a little on the tarmac, feeling the keenness of the autumn wind after the pressurisation and comfort of the interior of the aircraft. And she thought at first there was no one at all to meet her. And then she caught sight of Thatcher, her guardian's chauffeur, and a feeling of relief welled over her. "Hello, Thatcher," she greeted him eagerly. "How nice to see you again." Thatcher's carefully controlled mask of an expression slipped a little as he returned her greeting. "Nice to see you again, Miss Rose," he told her. He held open the rear door of his employer's sleek Bentley so that she could step in and make herself comfortable on the superbly sprung back seat and escape the rawness of the wind. And then added more formally, "I trust you had a comfortable flight, miss." "Oh, yes," Rose relaxed with a faint sigh against the silver-grey upholstery. "Very comfortable, thank you, Thatcher." And then, with a little rush, "Sir Lawrence is quite well, I hope?" "Very well, miss." Thatcher arranged a light rug over her knees and then adjusted both windows so that only the right amount of cool night air would reach her. "Wedding plans going forward at a great pace, of course," shooting her a glance which puzzled her for a moment until she realised that it contained a touch of apology. "Sir Lawrence would have met you himself, only he hardly has a moment to call his own these days. What with all the new arrivals and Farnhurst Manor already packed to the doors, as you might say, and a great deal of entertaining and so forth, and naturally, Miss Willoughby..." "Oh, of course, Thatcher," Rose reassured him at once, the colour rushing to her cheeks and burning them almost painfully. "Naturally, Miss Willoughby has prior claim these days, and I honestly didn't expect my guardian would find time to meet me." She sounded as if she was horrified that anyone should imagine, even for an instant, that it had ever occurred to her that Sir Lawrence, under the changed conditions, would find time to meet her. But as the big car slid forward and she rested her head against the back of the seat, the blush in her cheeks died slowly. For during the whole of the last half hour, while she was airborne, she had kept two of her fingers tightly crossed and had hoped against hope that the familiar figure would be there waiting for her at the airport. It grew dark all at once, but by that time they were well away from London, following the course of the Great West Road. Rose wondered whether they were actually on their way to Dorset and slid back the glass partition which separated her from the chauffeur and asked him what his instructions were. "Are you taking me straight to Farnhurst, Thatcher?" Thatcher admitted that that was the plan. "It was Sir Lawrence's idea, Miss Rose. He thought you would prefer it to spending a night at the flat. And naturally he is in constant need of the car and couldn't spare me either for any length of time." "No, of course not," Rose agreed, like the expensively educated and well-disciplined young woman she was, and decided to ask no more questions. But she was tired and a little hungry, for only tea had been served during the flight, and it looked as if dinner was something that had been overlooked in her case. Which was unlike Sir Lawrence, for even when immersed in his own concerns and preoccupied, as she had often known him to be, to such an extent that he seemed unaware of what was going on around him, the concerns of other people were never quite out of his mind, especially when they were people with some sort of a claim on him. She sighed as she watched the dark shapes of hedgerows sliding past the windows on either side of her, in a slightly sinister fashion, and the occasional gleams in cottage windows as they sped through a village. The autumn-laden night air reached her through the narrow vent Thatcher had considered necessary. But although it cooled her cheeks, the sigh was repeated away down at the depths of her slender being.